Hello and welcome to the special edition of We the People coming to you from Mumbai. How many of you knew that every hour there are 15 suicides in this country? In fact, more than 370 every day. And over 1,35,000 this past year. That is how common suicides are, and yet they are discussed and debated so little. There still continues to be an unnecessary stigma around them and a really acute absence of understanding. Now there is a new bill in Parliament that proposes that suicide needs to be decriminalized. On the program today, we'll also be asking whether modern life has made urbanites especially vulnerable, whether it is the film industry that has seen a spate of suicides from Gurudat in the past to most recently Jia Khan. Is the industry especially vulnerable? Is suicide something that is a reality we do not want to confront because we do not understand it? And what of abetment to suicide? A justified provision in the law or a much misused one? Let me start with you, Mahesh Bhatt. You have argued that what happened with Jia Khan recently has actually pulled the film industry out of what you describe to be a coma-like situation, a kind of denial. You have seen many things in your years in the industry. You've seen your own relationship with Parveen Babi. You've seen what happened to Gurudat. You've seen what happened to Jia. Is the industry in particular in denial?
I think it would be absurd to say that the film industry in particular is vulnerable to this suicide epidemic which is threatening to devour the world.
Yet you call it an epidemic.
It is an epidemic because it's absurd that while we keep on improving on your surveillance systems, the danger that you really have is from yourself. The chances of you eliminating yourself are perhaps more than you being eliminated by somebody else. But this is the tragedy. The bedrock of on which this stands is society itself. Society is a sick society. You see, there are people who do not want to fit in. It's, to use the phraseology of boxing, I want to throw in the towel. I don't want to fit into this ugly, horrendous value system which you pretend to practice, but behind the closed door violate. There's a young boy, a young girl who says, I do not want to be a cog in of this machine, this apparatus. And just when they want to give up, you force them, you send them to psychiatrists, want them to fit them in, and then it gets too much, they say, stop the world, we want to get off. And if they're unlucky to get caught, you do not let go of them, you put them in the prison. So this is an absurd situation. I think all legal structures are built on the religious ideology of man, which said that life is sacred. If life is sacred, why do you condone war? Mankind has opted for suicide. It's okay to die for a cause, for a flag, for a religion, for some issue. But an individual says, I cannot fit into your ugly value system and I want an out. What do you do?
So what I'm hearing from you is, stop the judgment of those who kill themselves.
I'm saying those who say life is sacred are bluffers.
The new bill says that anyone who attempts suicide should be treated as mentally ill. Would you agree with that?
Doctors have definitions of health. Health itself is a definition. So a team of doctors will get together and say, this particular person is clinically not healthy. Why? Because he cannot fit into the rhythm of what is called the majority. And that's why you say, now pull him out and make him fit in. That's where they come, they counsel you. If nothing works, they give you electroconvulsive therapy and further brutality against them. I just don't want to fit into your system. I want an out. Can't people who do not want to fit into your system have the right to exist?
Okay, hang on. I have to ask you. Aren't you sounding like you're encouraging suicides?
Look, I had the privilege to meet the most extraordinary man, the most subversive man called U.G. Krishnamurti, who opted to get off the merry-go-round.
You wrote a book on
2000. Yes, I wrote a book called A Taste of Life, 2007. He did not accelerate his death because he was not suffering from any unimaginable pain which he wanted to escape from, nor was he hurtling towards the doors of heaven. He said, it was like I described that even like a gorgeous sunset. I sat down there and watched the sunset. That is the way he said, I'm like a dog, like a pig, like a rat, like a leaf fall. He just went. And I just sat down there. He says, only thing I want from you as a friend is see that these guys don't come in and put me on those life support systems to keep their industries going. to make a money out of my tragedy. I want to go. This is the way. I'm not doing anything to fast forward it. But it was not suicide. Now, people will say, oh, there are references to this in a particular faith where people do it. Those guys do it to go to a sacred space, to be next to the Almighty. This gentleman debunked the idea, the narrative of the gods, said, this is my life. It has had its run. I gracefully want to go unsung, unwept, unremembered.
Now, that's a very, very passionate and some would say contentious account. But Pooja Bedi, I want to get you in first. And I'll tell you why. Because what I heard from Mahesh is, if somebody wants to get off the treadmill, that's their right. Who are we to judge them?
Let me qualify this. I'm saying when somebody doesn't want to fit in, you don't let that person be. You say, you are
a criminal,
an aberration. You are a misfit. You are not an achiever.
But Pooja has said in writing that suicides are selfish and cowardly. So she's actually used some of the words that you're actually questioning. And you have said this. You have said this despite the fact that you have a personal tragedy. Your brother committed suicide.
Yes. You know, Barkha, there are various perspectives to suicide. Mahesh Ankal has discussed one of them, which is your right to get off the planet because you consider yourself a misfit or whatever. But I think a majority of suicides happen as a cry for help. Because in a majority of cases, people are so starved, so desperate, so trodden on. They have no way for survival. For example, the farmer suicides that take place. Not because they want to commit suicide, because they feel they have no option. It's their last final cry for help.
So it's despair.
Number one, it's incredible despair. That's number one. That's one aspect of it. Second aspect would be, for example, a person that is genuinely mentally ill. Not somebody who's caught by a psychiatrist, put on a chair, put through various electric shocks. But somebody who genuinely has a mental disorder.
My brother
was diagnosed as schizophrenic. Now, in India, mental illness is not very well looked at. For example, there's a lot of stigma associated with it. You have a heart condition, people will go to doctors. You have cancer, people go to doctors. You have a mental illness, people hide it in their families because they say, oh my God, pagal hai. They don't consider it a disease that can be treated. My brother was in America. He was being treated by the best, supposedly. He had long talks with my father about his condition because the medication was so strong. He was a brilliant whiz kid. He graduated from Carnegie Mellon with honors on the dean's list. He told my father, he said, Papa, I sit in front of the computer. I'm a fantastic programmer. I can't think. He's saying, I love my food. The medication is so strong. I can't taste my food. What use is quantity of life if I can't have quality? And Papa said, Siddharth, stay with the program. You will get better. When he met a psychiatrist a couple of weeks later for his therapy and asked, when will I get better? The doctor told him, Siddharth, you will never be 100% of what you ever were. My brother took a very conscious decision saying, this is not how I see the rest of my life. And he wrote a very lovely suicide note for me, my daughter, my mother, left a check for funeral expenses and decided to get off the planet because that's not how he envisioned the rest of his life. So, he was just 25.
So I want to ask you, because you, despite this, said you feel many suicides are just selfish and cowardly.
Absolutely.
Which are those, according to you?
What Siddharth did was not selfish. What Siddharth did was a choice he made to not inflict his misery onto other people in credit, because if he's not able to earn and work and be a active citizen on this planet, he chose not to be a burden on other people. But people, when I see people that have all the benefits of what this wonderful world can offer in an emotional fit for love reasons or for whatever, negating, say, 25 years of what has been invested into them by their parents and saying that because one love affair went wrong and you choose to get off the planet because you can't bear the pain of that. I think that is so selfish and I think that is so cowardly that you cannot get up and say, you know what, one person in 1.2 billion in this country and wasn't the right guy for me. Well, too bad for him. He lost out on me.
So jilted relationships, when they end in suicide, you have a problem with that.
And I also have a problem with for example, suicides by students under exam pressure.
Why do you have a problem with that? Because we have parents here whose daughter went through that. And we don't know what that pressure is like.
I'll tell you why. Because every student goes through the same pressure. Every student goes through the same schooling system. Every student out there tries their best. And I have a problem with the fact that somehow, somewhere, they were not taught coping skills. Mm. It's about coping with the stress.
Okay, Mahesh Poddar sitting next to me, his daughter was 15 when she killed herself.
We're going to hear,
because you brought this up, yes. I want to hear from Mr. Poddar. But I'm first just going to go to KTS Tulsi. This business of the suicide note. Mahesh Bhatt says it's about me, the individual, not fitting in. But sometimes the suicide note is not about me, the individual, not fitting in. It's about you did this to me, so I killed myself. Now you've gone through this.
You're not getting me right. I'm saying it is your value system.
You right.
Your value system is making that individual feel that the way he or she is, it's not good enough.
I understand.
So there's a feeling of inadequacy. I don't match up.
But when a Jia Khan's family says, so-and-so was responsible for my daughter's suicide, what do you say? Because that's the question I was going to take to Mr. Tulsi.
Well, I think for in that area, I would agree with what Dr. Maheshwala says, that there are, the whole chemistry of the brain goes haywire, which can be corrected through ingestion of particular drugs or through certain therapies.
But my question...
One sentence. I just want to say one thing. Suicide is suicide. Homicide is homicide. Nobody can make you do anything without your consent. It's as simple as that. The choice is yours. It's your life.
But I'm going to ask, is it that simple? When Pooja Bedi, KTS Tulsi, says that suicide is suicide, homicide is homicide, when you represent, for example, Gopal Kanda, who's accused of exploiting a woman who was his colleague, and that woman is driven to suicide, and she basically makes that allegation in her suicide note, and there is a suggestion of exploitation, not just the mere ending of a relationship. Is it that black and white to say suicide is suicide, it's not homicide?
You see, my position is this, that you have a right to live, and right to live includes right to die. By criminalizing suicide, what are we saying to the people? We are unable, we don't care about their dire straits that they are in. But if they succeed in suicide, that's the end of the story normally, unless they have written a revengeful note.
But what about abetment? What about abetment?
No,
because even if you decriminalize suicide, you will not be decriminalizing abetment.
No, abetment will automatically go. If suicide is not a crime, abetment is abetment to a crime, that you are intentionally aiding the commission of a crime.
But your client in this case, Mr. Tulsi, was accused of exploiting a young woman.
Somebody is exploited only when somebody is willing to be exploited. There's no force involved in this.
So you're blaming the victim?
No, both are to be blamed. Why? Suicide, many a times the suicide notes actually are an act of revenge. The bride wants to go, she had a problem with her husband, she has a problem with the mother-in-law, and she thinks that through this law, she can teach them a lesson. In fact, having suicide on the criminal statute is encouraging suicide.
What if it's not an adulterated relationship? What if it's sexual abuse? What if it's rape? I'm not saying that women who are raped or sexually abused should ever feel that their lives are over. But if society makes them feel
that. If suicide is not on the statute, the woman will fight, will teach him a lesson. You know, what are you telling them by having suicide on the statute? You're telling them, if you are going to commit attempt suicide, better succeed.
I want to ask one fundamental question.
Yes.
You say life is sacred. What screams out and tells you every now and then? Is life sacred? Do you treat life with sanctity? You kill people in war. You maim people. You brutalize them. And then like a neurotic schizophrenic, you see in the next breath, you say, life is sacred. These priests, they bless war. And then they make a woman who aborts a child feel like a criminal. So does that have something wrong? It's a sick society. So an individual is saying, I do not want to fit into the sick society. So they get the doctor. And the doctor is the Gestapo. He says, I will make you the person fit you in. So he tells you, gives you drugs to do what? To fit in, to run.
What would you do? If you knew somebody, Mahesh, your daughter, your lover, your wife, your sister, who wanted to kill themselves, would you say just go and kill yourself? No, you would do what?
No, love them.
I have
love them, but what would you tell them if they felt that?
Make their life worth living.
I said to you, you could read that book called A Taste of Life. This was a gentleman who had lived his life. He said, my body is saying goodbye.
No, but what
I want
he's
to go.
Asking is, what will you do?
I did
what
it.
What will you it's do there with your relative, with yourself, your son?
What will you do? You don't even know. This is my relative. This was the most defining relationship of my life.
Why did he? While I'm all for decriminalizing suicide, why am I getting the impression that you're saying if somebody wants to give up on life, you can't stop them, let them?
I'm talking about a concrete person, not an abstract person.
Yes.
I'm talking about a person who is the breath of my existence, Mr. Yuji Krishnamurti. He said, my life is coming to an end. I do not want to be plugged into this life support system. Neither do I want to escape a pain. I want to go into the corner like a dog goes and die. Can you make it possible? I made it possible for him.
Doctor, I did not help him to commit suicide.
Dr. Shetty, I do not want to extend life.
UG Krishnamurti is not his close relative. What will he do if it is his daughter?
Why are you disturbed by what Mahesh has said?
Because he doesn't like this narrative.
Because your entire narrative... UG Krishnamurti is not his relative. If his daughter, brother, sister has depression, he will go to the psychiatrist. Which is why he's working with Machiswala with a booklet, and he's put the names of psychiatrists down to help the film actors.
What's wrong with helping the film actors?
Ask him.
I'm asking you. What's wrong with helping the film actors?
It's absolutely right. It's absolutely, which is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Mahesh Bhatt is talking about UG Krishnamurti. He's not talking about his close relatives. If his close relatives have depression, he'll go to a psychiatrist.
Can I correct? He'll go to a psychiatrist. Since he's talking about when me, the, can
when
I
the,
say?
When the,
let him just finish his point and then
When the pancreas cries, you have diabetes, you treat diabetes. When all patients of heart attacks from the ICU don't go home, they go to heaven. When the mind gets fractured, the person is not aware that he or she is in the right frame of mind. Now, I don't agree with her when she justifies her brother's suicide and she calls all the students who commit suicide out of a loss of life and passes a judgment. Anybody at the point of wanting to die needs help.
Yes.
It is not about not fitting into society. When you have clots in the arteries of your heart, you go to the heart surgeon, you say, please help me.
Yes.
You don't say, allow the arteries to die, allow that to clog, I want to die with a heart attack. Absolutely.
The point is,
student, when he feels lost out of his love, in a globalized world where there's disconnection, where there is no emotional contact time with the family,
But you would want to decriminalize suicide.
Absolutely.
Quick rebuttal, and then I want to move. I only want to say one thing to you, sir.
Yes, sir.
You have no reason to presume that UG Krishnamurti was nothing to me. He was more than all my families put together. First thing. Other thing, he did not commit suicide. He did not want to extend life, nor did he want to accelerate the process of the end. You think it's a suicide?
No, we are not talking about UG Krishnamurti. We are talking about common human being.
I think by doing what I did for my friend UG Krishnamurti, I demonstrated to myself and to him that this was the act of greatest love.
But here's the point. Was he ill when he decided to do
this? Not at all.
He was not ill.
He was 89.
Suppose he was 49.
He was not 49. He was 89.
Mahesh, I'm giving you hypothetical questions. Suppose he was in his 40s. Would you not say you have 30
look,
more years
look,
left?
Look,
try and recover.
What doctor
and
is bang on right? If my daughter comes to me and says,
yes,
I'm suffering from depression, I would certainly call up Dr. Machiswala.
No,
say,
comes and says,
listen to me. Dr. Machiswala, what are the drugs available on the shelf? And I know that he is competent enough to give me the drugs and provide relief. But what we are talking about is the very basic idea of life being sacred. I am saying society says life is sacred, yet you day in and day out violate what you claim.
Okay, Kalpana Lajpi, as the niece of Guru Dutt, which has been one of the most talked about suicides, though Mahesh in his foreword to Dr. Machiswala's book actually says, we do not know for sure whether it was suicide, but one thing is for sure, Guru Dutt decided life was not worth living.
Yeah, that's what I was told.
Now, where do you come in on suicide?
I have a very sad tale to tell when I look through the history, medical history of my mother's, my maternal side, melancholia and depression has run through this family since ages. And my uncle Guru Dutt happened just to be the most spoken about because he was a celebrity. But in my family, from my mother's side, My maternal grandfather was bipolar.
Yeah.
My grandmother was a depressed person. My mother herself has suffered from melancholia all her life. Apparently, my grand aunt and my great uncle have committed suicide in the past. So I don't know whether it's a genetic strain or is it whether that family per se, who are considered to be very artistic and were full of dramatists, poets. I don't know whether such individuals have heightened sensitivity or they hyper-react.
Do you believe there are circumstances where there is genuine exploitation as distinct from the end of a romantic relationship?
I wouldn't place Gurut Uncle's suicide as a romantic end. It was an end because he was a manic depressive. He had committed suicide, tried to commit suicide 4 times before. Mm-hmm. And that particular night when he died, he did have an overdose of sleeping tablets mixed with alcohol. So because it was in the 1960s, and my family comes from this exalted Brahmin background, it was high funda stigma. They didn't even want to admit that it was suicide.
Yeah, that the sensitive artist killed himself. Because your idea of sensitivity says you must be awakened to life, you should celebrate life, you should save a life, and yet this man, who is the most intensely alive human being, yeah, finds life's pain unbearable.
Are we in danger of romanticizing neurosis?
The problem is that we think that just because you belong to the performing arts, depression gets that halo.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
In fact, what happened with us in the film industry, it was the workers who came to Dr. Macheswala and said that we, as light boys, as spot boys, as carpenters, and as, you know, builders, want help from these.
But Dr. Macheswala, what help can you offer to somebody who Mahesh might say does not want to be part of a system?
I mean, though Mahesh bhai would have his own, philosophical ideas about life in general,
yes,
the sacredness of life and all that. But otherwise, I have always found him very, very grounded, very, very practical in terms of psychology and psychiatry. Whenever he makes any film of his, always there is some psychologist, some psychiatrist involved. He will always discuss with me about, what could be the role and all that. He may project psychiatrists in a different way, is a different story by itself. But when this issue came up about the Jia Khan thing,
yeah,
and when he was, because he's he's a spokesperson.
But let's take the Jia Khan case. Jia Khan's family has blamed another family, one of her lovers or her lover, in this case, the Pancholi family, for driving her to this point. Do you believe abetment to suicide is something that cannot go off the law books?
Not in all situations. Because what happens when I am dealing with the worst, severest cases of depression, who are about to say either they have attempted suicide or about to commit suicide. See, that time, their judgment is very, like even a small thing. They may even feel that my that particular friend of mine, kind of ignored me.
You're saying their assessment can't be trusted at that point.
See, I deal with very severe cases.
Abetment is an issue which is not very clear. For example, if a school principal,
yes,
scolds a child,
yes,
and he goes and commits suicide, is the school principal responsible? Abetment is something which we need to really debate, because abetment in a globalized world is a different phenomenon. What is happening is, when the father beats up the child because he has got less marks in the 12th standard, the boy goes and commits suicide. Why? Also because the boy today has no enough relatives to talk to.
Can I just get Johnson in this? You actually work with an NGO that is a crisis intervention group, and you run a helpline, and people can call you and say, this is what we are feeling.
Yeah.
But where does abetment come in for NGOs like yours?
Well, I'd first like to point out one crucial factor over here. Suicide is a process, it's not an event.
Yeah.
It happens over time.
Yeah.
People go through trying circumstances, emotional upheaval. They come to a desperate point where they feel that there's nothing, nowhere else to go. And then there's a trigger event that happens. And the trigger event is what triggers the suicide. And how can you say that someone has abetted your suicide when that person has not consciously done anything to...
But are all of you saying that there can never be abetment to suicide? Am I hearing that from all of you? There can be?
Especially in women in marriage. Yep. When they're chronically beaten up continuously, she has no place to go.
Harassment is not abetment.
Her family...
But I agree with that. Harassment is not abetment.
But Gopal Kanda, in your case, your client's case, is accused of active harassment, active exploitation.
Harassment is not abetment
to suicide. So punish him for harassment.
There are half a dozen decisions on this point. Suppose a creditor is asking his debtor to pay up, and the debtor commits suicide. He's harassing him to pay. His intention is that the money should be paid. Kanda's intention was that he wanted to have a relationship with this girl. He never wanted her to die.
I'm hearing from you that abetment should go completely. I'm hearing from you, Dr. Shetty, that there are circumstances where it's genuine.
Absolutely. In the sense, if a child is beaten up, or if a woman is beaten up continuously, and he or she faces stress for some time, there's anxiety for some time, then there's depression, and he or she says, I cannot take this anymore, I'll end my life.
Okay,
who's responsible for this?
Suicide is invariably a product of an unsound mind. A person who is not normal. a person has already given up on life.
Okay, I'm hearing a young girl say no here, and I'll come back to you after I hear what she has to say.
Usually when someone commits suicide, the very next day there's an article by a certain psychiatrist saying that, you know, this person was very jolly, they were very happy in life and this and that. And in defense, like, we didn't know about it, you know, that how can a person who's so happy can commit suicide? Your state of mind, first of all, suicide is something called self. You do it yourself. No one pushes you. If someone tells me, you know, you're not good at something, according to me, I'm going to go back and make myself do that thing in a very best way.
In Geetika's case, she came back from Bombay after a fashion show organized by her brother. And she was perfectly happy. She came back, she had her food, she chatted. And then she went into the room and no one could sense that she's going to end her life. She waited for the parents to go to sleep, and thereafter wrote a long suicide note and then hung herself. No one could imagine that she is about to do it. It was her own decision. Most suicides...
It's obviously a person's own decision, but how much of it is influenced by circumstances created by other people? Johnson, can we do away with abetment of suicide?
Yes, totally.
You would do away with abetment?
Absolutely. Why? I don't agree with abetment.
So what happens in cases of genuine exploitation, harassment, abuse? You're saying punish for those.
Punish for exploitation, punish for harassment, punish for abuse, punish for dowry harassment, whatever it is.
Further, Dias, to the point that Mahesh Bhatt made about religious leaders who often have very sort of puritanical views on this, almost all religions, though there are some exceptions, look upon suicide as a kind of sin. My point is that if somebody is mentally ill, if you want to call it that, or depressed, if you, whatever the word you want to use for it, why add stigma and judgment to that sense of despair?
Well, this the history of suicide as it is seen as sin is age old.
Yes.
Time immemorial.
Why?
Across religions.
Yes, I agree with you, but why?
It's not just the Catholic or the Christian faith that talks about it. Hinduism would talk about non-violence. I mean, it is a violent act. It is an act against yourself. It's an act against nature. It is an act against God, His dominion. You're trying to create control over God's dominion, which is, we believe that life is sacred. We believe all religions.
But suppose somebody doesn't feel like their life is sacred, and that's the point Mahesh has been raising.
Today, the church, I can speak for the Catholic Church, since at least... Earlier, you couldn't even bury or have a mass for someone who committed suicide. Yes. Position of the church today is very open. Since 1997, what is called the Catechism of the Catholic Church, which is the dogma or the doctrine that goes out, they have a very favorable attitude towards a victim, towards somebody who's either succumbed. And also towards the...
So there would be empathy instead of judgment?
Yes, a lot of it. A lot of it is very clear. It's there in black
and
white.
So you would today not look upon it as a sin?
Well, what we would do is, we would... Whether it's a sin or no is still questionable. Because by and large, the feeling is that it is a sin. You've violated the fifth commandment, which is thou shalt not kill. And so, today, while one might be questioning whether it is a sin or not, it is not to be encouraged.
Pooja, you made the formulation that students who do this, you don't understand that. And now think of parents who've actually experienced this. And I have Mahesh Poddar and his wife here, who are going to talk about their daughter Mini. And Mini, I think, 15 saal ki thi?
15 saal ki thi, madam, when she committed suicide.
Kya hua, batai, sir?
Look, we belong to a very conventional sort of family. And she was brought up in Bombay. And studying very well in the school, always standing first and second. Her matric exam came, the 10th standard exam. She passed with very good marks, around 83% that time. And she wanted an admission in a particular college. She was always boasting around with her colleagues, friends.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I will be getting to this college, I will be going to this, I will be doing that thing. Unfortunately, she could not get the admission to that college by just 2 marks. She got admission in another college, which she didn't like. And I was away, I had gone to the work, my wife had suffered she had gone to her parent because she lost her mother. She was alone at house. When I came back from the work, the door was locked and she was not there. That was it.
And she had asked him a few days ago.
She has given signs, madam, which now I could, talking to Dr. Harish Shetty, we could realize that yes, there were certain signs which three out.
Which
she,
you had,
yes,
which
we,
you
we,
had
we missed
noticed,
out.
Maybe.
We could not note out because we were not knowing about the, these are the signs of depressed mind or person who is in.
I want to hear from Mini's mother. Aapke liye to sabse mushkil hua hoga. Mother losing her daughter. And like this, over what, she was shot by 2 marks?
Yes, 3 marks.
3 marks.
Actually, like, she was very enthusiastic and this thing. Matlab, she was thinking ki without tuition and without anything, I can get more than 85 marks.
But ma'am, aaj ye, aap ye nahi sochte ki kya marks, kya system, kya ye ek bakwas pressure humne banaya.
Yes, that is what yes, we are thinking, yes. Ma'am. That's exactly what is we are thinking, that all the systems that Dr. Manish Bhatt is saying, it's absolutely correct. Yes. I fully endorse with him. Yes, we have made our own commands or boxes and we don't want to
get out of that. जब आपको पूजा कहती है, मुझे ये समझ नहीं आता, ये बच्चे जो करते हैं, आप इनको क्या समझाएंगे?
See, no, that's, she is fine. She is absolutely right in her own opinion. I don't question her opinion. She has also suffered a great deal. But the question is that what we have to do is this, childs have to be brought up, they have to be given emotional strength, they have to be empowered from right the beginning.
What's the process?
This is
you,
the problem which
sir,
we,
what's the
we
process you went want. Through? Did you start blaming yourself? Did you blame the school system? Did you say I missed the signs? Because there's a lot of things that parents also go through.
See, it all. We definitely agree that what Maresh Bhatt said, that we blame the school system, that yes, this exam systems, that time the exams are not very like this today's.
Admission system.
I want to take this back to all of you. You said you don't understand. This is a 15-year-old girl. She's shot by 3 stupid points.
I want to say
this
something,
Barsha. This is what we have done to our children.
Just let me finish. Yes, sir, one thing I would say, that it could have been a momentary decision. I don't say that it was a long sort of process, yeah, or something like that.
Barka,
it could have been taken
see,
in a short time.
I can see Johnson disagreeing, but Pooja, go ahead. Yeah. Pooja, go ahead, then Kalpana,
firstly,
then Mahesh.
I'm really sorry for your loss, firstly. Secondly, she was short of 2 or 3 marks. I was not even short of those marks. I was a class topper in my school. And I was studying out of Himachal Pradesh. And when I came to apply in Bombay for NM College, and me to stand in those long lines where you appear at 4 a.m., you stand there. And finally, at about 12 o'clock in the afternoon, you're finally there. The door is in front of you. You're armed with your certificates, class topper and all of that. And a silly pune comes up to you and says, eligibility certificate, yes. Hai, transfer ka. And I said, and I turned and I said, nahin, lekin mere marks bahut achhe hain. They said, and I have a pink slip saying that because of the exam, being in March or May or June or whatever, that it's happening and it's coming. The certificate says my eligibility certificate is coming, but here are my marks. Get out of the line.
Yeah.
I said, excuse me, my marks are great. Let me go and talk to the principal or whoever's inside and I'd like to state my case. Get out of the line. I wasn't even mark short. I was told to get out of the line. You know, but did I turn around and get depressed? No, I didn't. I turned around and said, well, to hell with this bloody college. They don't deserve
but
it.
But everybody cannot respond.
It's only individual thing.
But
individual
but
it can be an individual
okay,
question.
Okay.
This is
the
age
of onset of depression is going
okay,
down.
Once again. Kalpana, you listen to these parents.
But
you,
that's my point. Despite all those years of hard work and being a class topper and distinction, the signing books of honor,
I understand.
You're put through that humiliation. But you either you choose to succumb or not succumb. You choose to have the coping.
That
don't
simple.
Have the coping skills.
Someone would have told Guru that also, either you choose to succumb
not,
or you don't
not.
Succumb. Is it that simple, Kalp?
No, it's not. And I think it is intense lack of self-esteem, abject absence of, I mean, it is someone, a person who feels is suffering intense rejection, humiliation, cannot accept what is to be a failure in terms of what how society perceives you to be a failure.
But then do we blame society?
I think so. I think society at any point of time, I agree with Mahesh, I'm sorry to say this, it has no compassion, has no sensitivity and no interest in the other. We've lost that capacity to feel emotional, moral strength and to impart it.
Okay, Johnson, you said you would like to do away with the abetment to suicide. You don't think it has any place in the books. What happens to schooling systems or education systems, because one of the most prevalent forms of attempted suicide are by students. Does that mean that the children are to blame? A 15-year-old child?
But why do we need to blame anyone?
I'm just wondering whether in this whole it's a choice that somebody makes, they don't fit in. What are we doing to systems or individuals that create unbearable pressures?
See, yeah. But why is this happening? We have to understand that. We have to understand that our protective factors, which were there before, previously, like the joint family system, which allowed people to talk and ventilate about whatever they're going
but
through.
But now we can't go back to the joint family, the solution.
We don't have those protective factors anymore.
Yeah.
And plus the pressure is increasing because of the globalized world. There's much more materialism happening.
Mr. Tulsi, what if someone brought an abetment to suicide case against the whole admissions system?
You see, how many farmers are committing suicide?
Yeah.
Because of the economic distress.
Yes.
The question is, I did a case, the real case, in Rajkot, a senior official of the LIC was suspended for having asked for a bribe. And the day he was served the charge sheet, he killed his wife, he killed his three children, and he killed himself. And wrote a 9-page long suicide note blaming all the officials right up to the chairman. Whoever had dealt with the file was named as an abettor.
Yeah.
You see, we overreact to the situation. Mm-hmm. Question is, 99.999% of people are able to deal with the ordinary petulance of life. Somebody snaps.
Yeah.
Somebody gives up. Yeah. Somebody gives in.
Yeah.
Now, we can't call it a design of somebody.
Mahesh, what was Jia Khan for you? Was she a victim of a system? Was she just somebody that 0.1% who gave in?
Barkha, before I answer the question, I remember why I raised my hand. At the launch of that booklet of Dr. Matsiswala's effort to help the film industry, my daughter Alia, who's an actor, is 20 years old. She gave a speech and she based it on something she heard from me when she was in school. And she said, my father, when I was growing up, said that if you get 75% marks, I'll give you 1 lakh. If you get 50, I'll give you 5. And if you fail, I'll give you 10 lakhs. And she said that I found it so refreshing that I won't be kicked and judged by my father. You know, I think Gia, you asked me about Gia.
Gia.
Gia, I was instrumental in bringing her to the movies. It was unfortunate that she and me had to part ways in the very after the first schedule because I could see in her signs of depression, manic depression.
And you could see those signs.
I could see that sign because I had a prior narrative in my life where I had seen somebody have what is called a nervous breakdown, quote unquote.
Do you mean Parveen Bhabhi?
Yeah. Coming to Gia, I could see those signs and I said to her mother that, look, she doesn't have it in her to match the zeal and the speed with which we work. So we parted ways. There were so many times that she came and told me after that, look, I think you're right. I don't have it in me to run this marathon.
But do you believe her family was correct in blaming her failed relationship?
We need to find demons. You know, the problem is man is not strong enough to say the problem perhaps is him himself. We need to find villains, that he is responsible for my problem. We all the time looking for some super villains. And that's the problem.
And I really wonder what parents do. We've heard from Mahesh. Let's hear from Anthony. Anthony, your son was 17.
Yeah.
And what was his name?
Mikhail.
And what happened?
He was very hyperactive. And he just couldn't sit down for more than 10 minutes at any given time. He just was full of energy. And it so happened that I put him to school. I admitted him to a very prestigious school. And there he couldn't do well with academics. Mm. He always had red lines. And then I saw that he was very hyper. So to make him sit down and be able to sit down for studies, to divert that hyperactivity energy, I put him into football selection. Mm. But then, you know, he shot the ball so well, but it was not focused. So he didn't click in that selection. Then I got him admitted for a selection for hockey. There again, he scooped the ball so well, but then all out of focus, not focused, not towards the goal. And the last resort was I tried him for athletics. And in athletics, he specialized for a long distance running, that is for 4 kilometers. And he began doing well. And then the school started promoting him class by class, you know, under the sports quota. And in that way, he reached standard 9th. And ultimately, they couldn't promote him to standard 10th. So I had to withdraw him from that and I admitted him in National Institute of Open Schooling. And there he cleared 10th standard with a 71%.
Then what happened?
And then after that, he was so also, you know, violent. He used to break things, throw things, hammer the people in the house. And then I took him to a psychiatrist and just one pill a day worked a miracle. And he began calming down. And he was just coming out of the shell. He could mix about, socialize, which earlier he could never do. And then after about some 18 months or so, a group of his friends happened to see us coming out of the clinic. And they said, "Arey, what happened to you? Why did you come out from that clinic?" "Wo to pagal log ka doctor hai. Aapka daddy pagal log ke paas leke jata hai. Ek goli khata hai, ye sab karta hai. You are such a nice, handsome fellow." And he came home, took the tablet. "Mommy, you and daddy take these tablets. I may be a mad boy, I'm a bad boy, but I'm not a mad boy." And then he went for his exams. And then he had a habit of self-assessment. He came back home saying that, "Oh, I'm going to fail, I'm going to fail, I'm going to fail." Took out his bag and threw his shirt and his slippers and all that. He was very disturbed, very disturbed. And I had to tell him, "Son, don't worry. Things will be okay. We'll wait for the results. And then we will decide what to do. Nothing to get worried. As long as your father is with you, everything is with you. I am with you." And then one day when we had to go for a party. So he said, "Daddy, I'll do one thing. You all proceed. I will complete my journal and I will come." Yeah, and that used to happen in the past. Whenever he had some assignments to complete, we used to proceed, then he would join us. But that fine day, I don't know what happened, what clicked in his mind. We proceeded. And I just got a call at 8 o'clock from the maid that your son is hanging. So he hanged himself on the 12th of April, 2006.
You know, that is precisely...
It's difficult to actually... to say anything. I mean, I don't know what you told yourself at that point, because you tried your best. You tried your best, no?
Yeah. Surely.
What do you think it is? You think that it's the stigma that is attached, that people make fun of people who go to doctors?
See, that was the thing, that the peer group played a very, a bad role. If he had to carry on taking his tablet, probably my son would have been there today.
I want to take this back to you, Mahesh, because you'd be cynical about that tablet. That tablet can save lives.
Parikha, I'm not. I'm not. Again, I said society has come up with recipes to treat these kind of situations wherein a person is having a biochemical disorder. Yeah. I'm asking the macro question is that it is your structures, your value system that is pushing people to fit in. What is his thing? He couldn't shoot in that ball there in that goal. He couldn't scoop the ball there.
Yeah.
There is a goal and I can't hit the bullseye and something is wrong with me.
But aren't we all culpable as people for the fact that young people are driven to do this? How can we disassociate? And Pooja, let me ask you. Yeah, you and I can sit there and say, "Arey, if we hadn't scored that goal, we wouldn't have done this. We would have become a dancer. We would have become a chef."
Honestly, Barkha, I always say this, that nobody can make you feel inferior without your consent. Number one.
He was 17 years old.
Number two, no, he has a different condition. He has a psychological, a chemical reaction happening within his brain. It needs treatment. You know, quite honestly, if I was the parent, I'd have made sure he has that tablet every single day and found him 100 ways to make sure he has the tablet. Because
Mahesh, that was imperative. I'm sure as you're listening to Anthony,
because that
you're
was imperative to
this
his
is
well-being.
Parent to parent. You have both experienced the same thing.
Absolutely,
what would
madam.
You say to Anthony?
No, I always talk to him, Anthony. It's an unfortunate incident which has happened. See, it's the choice that our individual kids have taken. They have not taken parents into confidence. They have not spoken to me. They have not spoken. And I could not read their level of depression. We do not. We are not able to judge those things, madam. That is the problem.
Yes, ma'am.
See, I would like to say if it's a psychological thing, you know, a chemical imbalance in the brain, then certainly it has to be treated with medication.
But tell me, which one of us is not depressed at some point?
Yes, I agree that we all go through, you know, these fits of depression. But if you're asking me personally, see, I'm a great fan of James Bond. Okay, so he has an escape plan. If plan A does not work, then you have a plan B. So it's you know, it's very easy for me to say because, like Mahesh pointed out, we are normal within that bracket.
Within,
you know,
that framework.
We are within the framework, yeah. So I'm not disagreeing. But we do have our minutes of insanity. And we do feel there have been times when I personally, who I feel is very far away from depression, depressive, anything like that, and having been a student of psychology.
So I think it's also an inability to fully understand, though science has progressed when it comes to mental health.
So, you know, I studied in South Africa, and what I noticed was in our campus, we had a suicide helpline, and we had guidance counselors at school. So I just want to know, you know, in our education system, I don't know what the situation is right now.
Whether schools even provide
Are there guidance counselors? Are there suicide?
Johnson, what's your experience on that?
Schools do provide counselors, but unfortunately, because they don't have the budgets to pay them.
3% of schools in India have counselers.
3% of schools.
Yeah, absolutely. But they have part-time counselors coming in.
मैं सिर्फ एक बात कहना चाहता हूँ. मैं थिएटर डायरेक्टर हूँ. यात्री पिछले 34 साल से चला रहा हूँ. ओम कटारे नाम है मेरा. मैंने भोपाल में एक वर्कशॉप किया था जिसका टाइटल था 90% ही क्यों. उसमें 5 साल के बच्चों से 12 साल के बच्चे थे और मैंने उनसे कहा तुमको सिर्फ मार्क्स की बात करनी है. बच्चे अपने आप अपने डायलॉग लिख के आए, उस एज ग्रुप के बच्चे. तो बच्चों के अंदर डिप्रेशन जो है ना, उसकी शुरुआत स्कूल में मार्क्स से, रेड मार्क्स से, वहीं से हो जाती है.
आई वॉन्ट पुट अ क्वेश्चन टू द ऑडियंस. हाउ मेनी ऑफ यू मेजर योर सेंस ऑफ सेल्फ वर्थ बाय हाउ यू डू इन योर एग्जाम्स?
Yes, of course. It's not us who do that. It's the society which pressurizes us to do that. Because, you know, nowadays it's like, it's 35% considered as a passing marks. But when you're not in the 75s and 80s, you don't get admission. So why do you...
So you start thinking of yourself as a failure.
Yeah, of course.
You want to add to that?
Yes, ma'am. Actually, just telling society is not enough today. Like the parents, they have just started on focusing that if you don't get above 70, you won't get this. If you don't get about 80, you won't get this. That's not fair, right? And like comparing with other students, your friend got 90 marks, you got 60 marks. Why is that so? Come on, that's all.
Yeah, let's start taking last comments. Dr. Shetty, what do we need to watch out for?
Suicide is an accident of the mind.
Yeah.
If one mosquito bites 100 people, all don't get any malaria. When there's the same stress for 100 people, some get depressed. Identify them early. We don't know why. We don't know why. For the young, I would like to say that there are many guys worth living for, no guys worth dying for. There are many exams worth living for and no exams worth dying for. Switch unhone on kiya hai, apne ko band karne ka koi adhikar nahi hai.
Okay, let's take a question here.
I'm a 17-year-old student from Bombay and I just recently passed my 12th standard exams. I'm talking about pressure that comes from the society. Like what happens is even when you go on to choose your career, you know, when you pick up subjects, apne itna achha marks liya, ye kyun le rahe ho? You know, somewhere down the line, you have this feeling within you that what I'm doing is right or wrong.
I think you've nailed it. I think it's all of us who create that narrative, in a sense that Mahesh was talking about. Yes.
Actually, I would like to put forth behind everything, like we are talking, like Mahesh sir said, you know, it's the society. It is definitely the society. Because in his case, Anthony's case, somebody else, where the family was very supportive, somebody from outside who has no knowledge about what's going on in the inside, she said the people call them pagal, you know. They are not mad. They are not mad. There is lack of awareness.
And a lack of understanding. Yes, ma'am.
There is never a problem child. It's always a problem parent. That has to be understood deeply because society that we are talking about is made up from the home. The home is the first school of the child, we always say. So what the parents are in their behavior all the time is what the child learns from.
Absolutely. K.S. Tulsi, last thoughts.
It's not one event. It's not only the student. Throughout the life, you come across situations where anything is good enough to give you a depression. But then some people are able to come out of it, some are not. And those who are not able to come out of it, if they decide to end their life, it's their right. And we need not necessarily try to punish them if they don't succeed in ending their life.
Last question here.
Rather than blaming society and what they've done to us, why not we as individuals work towards making ourselves better? Why keep blaming others? Why can't we take our own initiative and, you know, say that, okay, I want to be a better person. I don't really care what society says, but I just want to be what I want to be.
You
want to
answer?
We need to cope up with ourselves. We need to be better.
We need to be better, but there's a pressure line there, right in that statement. Yes.
I think we have a very negative approach towards things. Like, we should get more positive. And people will talk, let them talk. But we need to fight back. We need to stand for ourselves first.
What I'm telling, why the only question for the children or youngsters? Even the elders are going through the same problem. And so much more, you know. And it's very difficult to deal with it. anybody is having an answer for this.
Suicide is preventable. Depression is 100% treatable, curable. Timely biological, psychological and social intervention can really prevent a lot of these problems.
Mahesh, and then Kalpana gets the last word. Yeah.
And I agree with a little girl. The society is not out there. Society is a part of me. It's within me. But the question for me is, the mother of all questions is, the value system which has been imposed on the human race is responsible for man opting for suicide, because you talk about a sanctity of life and pick up and keep on making nuclear arsenal to destroy the world.
Okay, I have to end. One line, Pooja.
We all keep blaming society for everything. My mother was always told, you know, why don't you fit in? And she said, I would fit into a society if it was a wonderful, clean, honest, wonderful society to fit into. But if you tell me I'm supposed to fit into something that's corrupt, degenerate, mean, etc., etc., I choose not to fit into that society. My brother... My brother died, my mother died, my nanny died, my dog died. I gave birth to two children and got divorced in a period of 3.5 years. It's a lot to digest in that short period of time. But I choose to turn around and say, you know what, let me thank God for what I do have instead of moaning about what I don't have.
Could Guru Dutt have done it differently?
I don't think so. And I think it all depends on the individual himself or herself. And I will not blame a single event around that individual.
Okay. I think we end with the fact of first saying we don't talk about this often enough. We brush it under the carpet. We treat it as a stigma. We look at depression as if it's a word to be embarrassed about. People, as Anthony so movingly shared and Mahesh so movingly shared, these are people who've lost their children. And they had people sniggering about the state of mind. Remember, it could happen to any of us. It could happen to any of us. It is a process, it's not an event, but sometimes something can just snap. So next time, don't judge, show a little empathy. And we need much more focus on this new mental health bill. Mental health needs to be out there, spoken about, without embarrassment, without fear, without stigma. Thank you very much, everybody. Thank you.